Opportunity to welcome you all, honorable members, on our meeting of the Portfolio Committee on Land Reform, Agriculture, Land Reform, and Rural Development. I'd like to welcome the Ministry. The executive minister in absentia, but let us also acknowledge the presence of the deputy minister, the Honorable Lubao Dlamini, who has joined us for the meeting, and also take this opportunity to acknowledge our guests from Ingonyama Trust and Ingonyama Trust Board that have joined us. Welcome our guests in the media and those interested entities that have joined us. Respected colleagues, honorable members, we bring you greetings and peace. Khwedah, Molweni, and Salaam Alaikum. We are grateful for the opportunity to once again gather in this way, as it enables us as a Portfolio Committee, honorable members, to discharge our duty. This duty is first and foremost in respect of the mandate and responsibility entrusted to us by this August House of the National Assembly, and equally important, our accountability towards the people of the Republic of South Africa, who regardless of party loyalties, reposed their faith in us. Today, there lies before us two important reports, this, the annual report of the Ingonyama Trust Board, and later on today, we will be receiving a briefing by the Honorable Minister Mamo Didiza of Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development, registering the progress on the release of state land for agricultural purposes. Both of these items scheduled for today are a demonstration of our accountability towards the people, but I want to make some general remarks, then set the stage for us to deal with the first item, that of Ingonyama Trust. Honorable members, in 2 days' time, we will be commemorating 31 years of His Excellency President Nelson Rolihlahla Mandela as a release from incarceration on the 11th of February, 1990. I want to reflect briefly on the words he uttered a few days after his release at a rally in Bloemfontein, and I quote, "The collapse of good conscience and the absence of accountability and public scrutiny have led to crimes against humanity and violations of international law," close quote. I am being selective and solely want to focus on the collapse of good conscience and the absence of accountability as a critical issue in our general state as a nation. Would like to request members to be assisted by the recording muted to the secretariat for the assistance. As it is a critical issue in our general state as a nation, and secondly, as critical ingredients in serving the people regardless of what that capacity is. Good conscience dictates that each public representative, as well as each public servant, realizes that they are not entrusted to fulfill a judiciary, to fulfill our respective duties and carry out the mandates entrusted to us. With good conscience also requires of us to benchmark our performance against the expectations of the people as well as the standards set by those who have preceded us. And we are duty bound to always strive to do better than our predecessors. This leads me to ask the question whether there has been a collapse of good conscience on our part as a nation, or whether we are merely failing ourselves in respect of the ambition exercise of nation building that we undertook in 1994. Allow me therefore, honorable members, to return to what President Mandela termed the absence of accountability in 1990. I raise this not only in terms of the annual report before us, but as a general consideration for each of us to reflect upon. It is also instructive to note that the issue of Ingonyama Trust and subsequently the Ingonyama Trust Board were interventions in the early stages of the formation of our nascent democracy, aimed at advancing our stated goals of nation building, national reconciliation, and advancing social cohesion. Allow me therefore to return to the issue of accountability. The very submission of an annual report is an act of accountability and an acknowledgement that no corporate entity, public or private, is law unto itself, but has a duty to plan, implement, and review, extract learning and lessons, and ultimately to report as the most fundamental part of accountability. In respect of a public entity, accountability must cover both developmental indicators of the delivery on mandate, as well as best application of available resources. It is therefore, honorable members, in this regard that I make the following observation. I took an opportunity at looking at where the 10% versus the 90% allocation of income for Ingonyama Trust comes from. In terms of Ingonyama Trust's financial regulations, 10 subsection 2, seen below, this is what the regulation says: in shortfall in income, where estimated income is unlikely to be realized, the official shall forthwith report the matter to the accounting authority indicating how the shortfall will be met. 2, an amount not exceeding 10% of the trust income may be utilized for the operational costs of accounting authority, being costs reasonably incurred by the accounting authority, including ordinary administrative costs, to achieve the objectives of the Act. I do not know if the regulations were amended to deviate from these provisions. We know that there is residential and commercial leases that are undertaken by Ingonyama Trust. And we know that there is a court matter on the residential leases. Perhaps the ITB can use the opportunity today to update the committee on the progress with regard to the court case and the financial impact on the resources of Ingonyama Trust. Further, a breakdown of income from leases according to traditional authorities, traditional communities, and whether they are residential or commercial leases. Further show how the funds have been distributed back to the deserving communities. If the trust exists for the benefit of the deserving communities, a question arises in relation to the role that the trust has played to support communities living in Ingonyama Trust land during the COVID-19 pandemic. The key question, honorable members, is that we should consider dealing with the question of accountability of the trust. As the Auditor General correctly stated, the trust is a public entity and must account as required in terms of the law. On what basis does the board argue that they should not be accountable in the manner Parliament wants? This is a long-standing matter which ought to be resolved. The ITB and the trust are inextricably linked. The board cannot exist on its own because it is an accounting authority for the trust. The previous legal advice to the former Minister of Land Reform and Rural Development on this matter was very clear. I would therefore argue, honorable members, that Treasury regulations, including Regulation 14, apply to the trust. Let us deliberate on these issues and others that may arise in the course of the presentation of the ITB annual report. However, let us be mindful of what President Nelson Rolihlahla Mandela's words on the 14th of February 1994, shortly before the dawn of democracy. And let us be mindful that such characterization should never be applicable to any of us. And I quote, there is an absence of democratic accountability and control in every sphere of government and the state. To address this debilitating legacy requires determined action and a deep commitment to transforming our society from a crisis-ridden present into something all South Africans can be truly proud of, close quote. Honorable members, I therefore want to take this opportunity to welcome Ingonyama Trust and the Ingonyama Trust Board to present their report. I thank you. Proceed, Ingonyama Trust Board. You may present. And can the Secretariat assist in uploading their presentation?
Thank you, Chair. We've given them the rights. We've given Ralph Sebifelo the rights to upload the
presentation.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
From Coffee Bay up to Mbotini.
Nomthandazo, please assist us and mute your microphone. Mamumoyo, please mute your microphone. ITB, you may proceed. ITB, you may proceed. ITB, please proceed. The presentation has been uploaded. Amkakaza, Panyams, who's supposed to lead the presentation of ITB?
I am not sure, Chair. I just wanted to request you to ask who is with us from the ITB so that we can take it from there. Maybe
we had someone from the ITB registering earlier. Can we ascertain who is leading the presentation of the ITB? Sibalkul, from the department, the Honorable Deputy Minister, can you assist who will be leading the presentation from the ITB?
Chairperson, I wouldn't be able to answer that question, but somebody was doing a presentation in our meeting with the ITB.
Zainal, are you doing the presentation?
Good afternoon, Chairperson.
Yes.
My apologies, we are struggling here, but I'm using another device on behalf of my transport. May I?
Who's speaking to us? Please introduce yourself.
Jerome Ngwenya, the chair of Ngwenyama Transport.
Oh, Maungwenya, welcome. These masks are not allowing us to identify you easily. welcome, and please proceed with your presentation.
Thank you, Chairperson,
and members
of the committee, of which you are the chair. The deputy ministers present, I understood the minister may be joining at some stage, but if she is present, I am also extending my greetings to her. Chairperson, I heard you to a particular extent in your opening remarks, and you will pardon us that when we prepared the annual report for presentation today, we did not factor in some of the matters that you expect us to deal with today, to the extent that we shall not have responded fully to your expectation insofar as those matters are concerned, Chairperson. It is not deliberate, but it's simply because we only became aware of that need as you were opening the meeting. First, Firstly, Chairperson, I have the members of the board, all the members of the board present today. I have Deputy Chair Dr. Kunta. I've got Advocate Zama. I've got Nkosi Kumete, Nkosi Shabalala, Nkosi Bele, and Nkosi Mavundla. And I have Advocate Mwengwe. And then I have the officials of the ITB, starting with Mr. Mia. Then I have Mr. Sandile Kabela, who tried to speak at some stage. He's the acting head of the Secretariat or CEO. I have Ms. Ellis, the acting head of the Land and Tenure Management. I have Mrs. Petout as described. And then I have Mr. Bai is our IT technician. That said, Chairperson, I propose that in doing our presentation, I will deal with the matters you have raised, as well as other legal matters arising from the audit report, including some audit findings. Mr. Kabela will deal with the performance matters. Mr. Mia will deal with financial matters. And then we will deal with questions generally as the board, as the questions come. But firstly, Chairperson, I think you have emphasized more than once in your opening statement about accountability. We agree with you that in this country, institutions of whatever nature, as well as human beings, at the end of the day, the ultimate authority is the government of the country. I've never understood the position of the Ingonyama Trust to be otherwise. My understanding, as far as that matter is concerned, separating the board and the trust, was with regard to the applicable legislation. Even the Auditor General confirms that the Ingonyama Trust Board is a listed public entity, a Schedule 3A, and Ingonyama Trust is not listed. It was listed at one stage, but it was delisted. Therefore, the compliance with the TFMA is fully operational on a public entity. But it doesn't mean that because it's not applicable to Ingonyama Trust, the laws of the country do not apply to Ingonyama Trust. There are many pieces of legislation that we can refer you which govern Ingonyama Trust, including the regulations which says it will be audited by the Auditor General. I'll come back at some stage because you made reference to Administrative Regulation 10, the 10% versus other things. But I was trying to clarify that aspect to say, as we appear before you, representing both the board and the trust, we have no doubt that we have to account to all the institutions of the country in terms of what we do, and we have to be consistent with the consistency so far as also highlight to you, Chair, and your committee, what are the challenges?
I nearly appeared on TV. You said,
wow. From legislation passed by government.
Honorable members, can we please mute our microphones? And can we have also the staff of the ITB settles down and you are moving and the videos are interchanging. So can we please all mute our microphones and allow Uba Ngwenya to proceed with his presentation? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. So, Chairperson, because this matter you raised towards the end of your presentation, but it is crucial, and I'll refer to it when necessary as we go along as far as the update on the court case is concerned. As far as we are aware, the challenge by those who have taken the trust to court is challenging the right of the trust to enter into leases with individuals on Ngonyama Trust land. And that case was debated before three judges last year in December, and the judgment remained reserved to date. So we're still going to hear what the court...
Noko, please mute your microphone. Noko, please mute your microphone. Honorable Trape, your hand is up.
Yes, Chair. Thanks, Chairperson. I'm a bit getting lost. I just wanted to check if we already started with presentation. If not, can't we allow the presenters to present so that Ntate Ngwenya also respond to issues at the end? Because now it's confusing and some of the issues might also arise as members interact with the presentation. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Trape. We usually afford the chairperson of the board the opening remarks and then to hand over to the presenter. So I thought Uba Ngwenya was utilizing his time just to give the opening remarks and hand over for the presentation. So we may wrap up Ngwenya and then hand over for the presentation, so that we can have ample time to engage with the trust. Proceed, Bangwenya.
Thank you, Chairperson. As I indicated, Chairperson, I said I'll allow Mr. Gabela to do presentation on performance of the organization and Mr. Mia to do presentation on the finances. And personally, I will deal with the audit findings. And without, therefore, any further ado, I will call upon Mr. Gabela to do just that. Thank you.
Bau Gabela, you are welcome. Please proceed.
Thanks very much, Chairperson. Greetings, honorable members, colleagues, honorable minister, if you have joined. Chair, I will talk on program performance, which according to our presentation then starts on page 12. Thank you. So the plan was to have five policies developed.
Baukabela. Please proceed and switch on your video. Chambers Kutwa, please mute your microphone and switch on your video.
We'll try, Chair, but we're having challenges with our connectivity this side. We'll just keep on breaking, but we'll try to
proceed.
Be quick.
Okay.
Yes. Chair, the other indicator was that the percentage of movable assets that you record on the register, we have achieved that here under review. And also there was a target for filling of the vacant positions that were targeted for the year, and that also was also achieved. There was also a target to install IT solutions for security purposes of our softwares. We had two as a target and we achieved that too. If we move on to a next slide, slide number 13. We had a target to internally train employees. We targeted 10. We were able to only have 4 training programs. Then there's a deviation there of minus 6, which talks then our comment is that the training program identified took longer to implement because of internal capacity constraints. Furthermore, we targeted that we should pay timely all invoices where there are no disputes in compliance with the requirements of the PFMA. That was achieved. We also targeted that we were going to prepare a communication strategy for the financial year under review, but we were unable to do that. The draft was prepared. It was still undergoing internal processes. If we move to the next slide, the next one again. Here under land and tenure management, Chair, the target for tenure rights approved by the board was 1,000 and the actual achievement was 1,409. So there was an overachievement by 409. There was also a target that quarterly we need to update, check our land register. We had a target of 4. We were able to do 4 of those. So we achieved that as well. If we can move on. That's then, Chairperson, the target that we had for supporting matrices in terms of provision of the training. Yeah, under review, we targeted that we'll have 45 sessions, but we did 0 as the achievement. And this was because that it was identified that the expense for the training was unfunded. However, then the trust then undertook that it will make provisions of the monies going forward to provide the support and training to the TCs. The last target there was the number of educational awards granted. The target for the year under review, we had 50 and we did not issue any. Furthermore, we say this was also an expense that was unfunded, but also the other issue is that the board was busy consolidating all the requests that were received from various TCs so that we can be better in a position to better know what type of assistance was going to be provided. Those Chairperson were then the targets for the year under review per each of our programs, program 1, 2, and 3. And those were the actual achievements that were recorded. And the performance audit report was also audited by the AGSA, and they indicated that they had no negative findings on it in their reports. Thanks, Chair. I will give on then to Mr. Mia to take us through on the finance report.
Thank you, Baukabela. Mr. Mia, please proceed.
Good day to the Honorable Chairperson, committee members, Minister or Deputy Minister, board members and colleagues. My presentation is on the audited financial statements of the Ingonyama Trust Board and the Ingonyama Trust for the year ended 31st of March 2020. I'm on slide 25. The Auditor General has audited two sets of financial statements, namely the financial statements of the Ingonyama Trust and the Ingonyama Trust Board. The financial performance and audited results of the Ingonyama Trust Board and the Ingonyama Trust are disclosed in the annual report and are also highlighted in the slides that follow. I will commence on the financial results or the statement of financial position on slide 26 of the Ingonyama Trust Board. The total assets of the Ingonyama Trust Board for 2019-2020 amounted to 2,709,117. The total liabilities is 3,158,800, with the total net assets of a negative 449,683. Net assets decreased by 636.07%, and the reason for that was at year end, there was an increase in the accounts payable from exchange transactions and an increase in the bank overdraft, which resulted in the total net assets of negative 449,683. On slide 27, we disclose the Ingonyama Trust Board's cash flow statement. The net cash flows from operating activities for 2019-2020 was 632,309. A decrease in cash and cash equivalents, meaning a decrease of cash from the previous year in the bank accounts, amounted to 632,309. And cash and cash equivalents at the beginning of the year, at the beginning of the financial year, was 603,242, resulting in a negative cash and cash equivalents at year end of 29,067 rands. On slide 28, we elaborate on the management of cash. There was a decrease in cash flow from operating activities since 2018-2019 due to an increase in expenditure. This decrease in cash amounted to 632,309. On slide 29, we reflect the statement of net assets. The total net liabilities of the Ingonyama Trust Board was 449,683. As I mentioned earlier, this decrease is 636.07%, and it is due to an increase in payables at year end. It is important to note that after year end, these payables were paid, resulting in the net assets not being a negative but becoming favorable. The performance for economic classification on slide 30. This slide reflects the difference or the amount paid for compensation of employees and goods and services. The total paid for the 2019-2020 year on employee cost was 31.88 million. Goods and services, 14.74 million. The total expenditure for the year, 46.62 million. The notes on the budget and spending for the Ingonyama Trust Board, the board has just one program, which we call the administration program. It is important to note that the board has spent 100% of the transfer payment received from the department for the year under review. 71.06% of the annual budget was spent during the year. The 2019-2020 budget made a provision for employee cost, which catered for employment of additional staff in terms of the proposed organigram. However, due to the limited transfer payment allocation to the board, the budget remained unspent. So basically, we are saying that we made a provision in the financial statements for employee costs, but because of the limited transfer payment, we were unable to spend all of the monies in the Ngonyama Trust Board. However, the transfer payment was paid in full. On slide 32, we discussed the operating expenditure trends. The total expenditure increased by 13.62% from 2018-2019, mainly due to an increase in audit fees and employee costs. Compensation of employees increased by 20.14% due to the annual increment and appointment of new staff. The goods and services in the slides that are presented later here include general operating and administrative expense, excluding employee cost. The transfer payment received during the year amounted to 21.48 million and was fully utilized. In terms of the guidelines that we received on reporting for this particular presentation, we had to report on future years, and our comment is employee cost will decrease due to the current process of restructuring and reorganizing the organogram. On slide 33, we detail the schedule of goods and services, which I won't go through right now. Honorable committee members can review that. The same for slide 34. The total amount of goods and services is 14.74 million. Slide 35 is a graphical presentation of the employee cost since 2016-2017. One could see that in 2016-2017, the employee cost was in the region of 21.7 million, which then escalated in 2019-2020, it escalated to 31.88 million. Slide 36 is the utilization of the transfer payment funding and the expenditure incurred thereon. Transfer payment received 21.489 million, and this was utilized for compensation of employees and goods and services.
5 minutes remaining. Can we conclude?
Chairperson, I would go to the slide 38 on the Ngonyama Trust, the balance sheet or statement of financial position. The total assets amounted to 25,290,000,000. Total liabilities, 22,159,338. Total net assets, 25,268,119. A net asset increase of 0.41%, mainly due to an increase in receivables. Slide 39, statement of financial performance or your income statement. Rental income, 172,124,444. This includes straight-lining lease income. The total revenue for the financial year 2020 for the Ngonyama Trust Board amounted to 189.79 million. The next slide is very important, Chair, for us to understand the income statement of the Ngonyama Trust. When one looks at the Ngonyama Trust income statement, you would automatically think that we are receiving or we are generating an income of 172 million. However, this is not correct. Slide 40 explains why this is so. The reason being that the amount that is actually invoiced and recoverable is only 70.04 million. Because of the disclosure in terms of GRAP 1, we have to disclose lease income on a straight lining basis. Therefore, an additional amount of 102 million, which makes up this total rental income of 172.13 million. Slide 41, capital expenditure. It's also important to note that no capital expenditure is paid for by the Ingonyama Trust Board. All of the capital expenses are paid for by the Ingonyama Trust, and the total for the capital expenses for that particular financial year amounted to 3.27 million. Chairperson, I would want to conclude on my presentation for today. Thank you.
Thank you, Baumia. Let us hear from the chairperson, Baungwenya.
Thank you, chairperson. As indicated, I will deal with the audit findings, chairperson.
In conclusion, remarks, Baungwenya.
Oh, thank you, chairperson. The audit findings, chairperson, on Ingonyama Trust Board is a qualified opinion. The basis thereof is that we did not, or the board did not disclose the full extent of irregular expenditure, which according to the Auditor General was a failure to comply with the requirements of Section 55(2) brackets B, Roman figure 1 brackets of the PFMA. We are saying this finding is wrong. The reasons thereof are that in the previous year, the Auditor General found that we did not disclose irregular expenditure of 1.9 million rand. And in those financials, their report reads as follows. During the course of the audit, the auditors identified irregular expenditure of 1.90 million, which was not disclosed in terms of Section 55(2)(b)(1) of the PFMA. That was the finding the previous year. They put it in brackets in this annual report on at page 59. We are saying in our response there to chairperson and members, that is incorrect because they say the total amount not disclosed is 2.84 million. We are saying we had disclosed 943,824 rands, which the Auditor General does not talk about. But instead, what they do, they add this amount which we had disclosed to the previous year's findings. You would see that 1.9, which was admitted last year, that yes, that was a non-disclosure. If you add 943,824 rands, you'll get exactly 2.84, which is what they say we did not disclose. Hence, we have launched a dispute with the AG on that, because what they are reporting to Parliament is a cumulative figure of non-disclosure plus what we have disclosed. And they say we did not disclose. We then say, let's go to a dispute, get an independent person, but they don't have a dispute resolution process themselves. Instead, they have a complaints procedure. So we're saying that is what you can add, anybody could add. Our financials are before you, Chairperson, and the committee. They disclose exactly this amount of 943824. And you'll see in the previous year, which is an opening balance, you've got 1.9, which was their finding the previous year. So we say both legally and factually they are incorrect, because if one looks at the PFMA, the section they're relying on specifically states exactly what we need to do, which in our view and in our response, we say we've complied. It says the annual report and the financial statement referred to in subsection 1, brackets D, must include particulars of any material losses through criminal conduct and any irregular expenditure and fruitless and wasteful expenditure that occurred during the financial year. We are saying in our own findings, this is what is irregular expenditure, and we are disclosing it.
Thank
they
you.
Don't give any other figure that they say we didn't disclose.
Thank you.
So I move forward then, Chairperson, to say both legally and factually the report is incorrect. We are waiting for a dispute resolution process.
Thank you, Bangwen. We will cover some in the responses from the questions raised by honorable members. I would therefore ask that we go into questions, Bangwen, and allow the honorable members to put their questions, and you may be able to note all of them as the ITB, and then afford you an opportunity to respond to the questions of clarity that will be raised by honorable members. Honorable members will then come to yourselves to afford you an opportunity for questions of clarity on Ingonyama Trust Board's presentation. The Honorable Kape.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. Let me welcome your reflections as you opened the meeting earlier on. I think by and large, it represents what I needed to say today on this Ingonyama Trust. But having said, Chair, I want to start with the board's mission. Bullet number 2 on their mission. It says to develop progressive business models for the social and economic upliftment and the empowerment of the members of traditional communities on land administered by the trust and administered by Ingonyama Trust Board. Can the board just say to us, are they living up to this mission? Can they also give at least 5 achievements on this one, if not examples? Number 2, the AG chair indicated that the AFS financial statement was submitted late, despite the 2-month extension that was granted. What were the reasons for submitting AFS late, and what the board going to do so that in the future they don't find themselves in the very same situation again? So you have touched on this, and I heard that when you're also talking about it. AG says, not quoting verbatim, as long as legislation stands, as it is, the Ingonyama Trust must account. What is your comment on this, Mr. Ngwenya, having heard you say now during your remarks that some pieces of legislation are applicable for the trust also? And do these pieces include the PFMA? Mr. Gavela indicated...
Honorable Chairman, if you may just pause a bit, can we request Bonyama staff to mute their microphone and close their video? It's creating an echo on the questions that the honorable members are asking. Please mute your microphone, Bonyama staff. Thank you, Honorable Klappe. Please conclude.
Chair, on the performance, three policies were not achieved. What is the impact? How have they impacted upon your operations and performance? Also, your combined budget for land tenure management program and traditional council support program, only 48% was spent on this. What is your comment? Because these are your core activities. That's why you exist as a trust. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Klappe. Honorable Tshwete. Honorable Mamu Tshwete. Honorable Stein. The Honorable Mamu Stein. The Honorable Ntate Matias. Ntate Matias.
Murana Matiba. Murana
Yambleka Intatak.
Retenda Teleka.
I retweet. You may proceed.
Well, thanks for the opportunity, Honorable Chair. Like Honorable Sape, let me welcome the presentation. And hasten, Honorable Chair, to acknowledge the opening remarks you made to this meeting by quoting the founding father of this democratic country. And that the quotation is instructive, Honorable Chair, in the light of the testimonies and evidence led by former and current members of Parliament before the Zondo Commission. It's instructive in that it talks to the ability of Parliament and various portfolio committees to exercise oversight and to hold the executive to account. And I hope the Ngonyama Trust takes that quotation not only to heart, but they take it to their mind, and they further take it to their conscience. Now, just as a way of settling in, Honorable Chair, the Professor Ngwenya says, in a way of disputing the findings of the Office of the Auditor General, I must remind the Ngonyama Trust that the findings on qualified audit opinion has been made public without reserve or without doubt. Without rather a disclaimer. And if Professor Mtembu would want to take the matter up with, I think that should be left to internally the Ngonyama Trust and the Office of the Auditor General. The Office of the Auditor General is a supreme audit institution in terms of Chapter 9 of the Constitution. And our opinion reigns supreme. So it's important that it's underscored and it must be noted. Now, if we were to consider and to patiently sympathize with the disclaimer made by Professor Ngwenya, with the kind of an intransigence of the Ngonyama Trust, a long history where the trust has been disputing that it is bound by the provisions of the Public Finance Management Act, that the act doesn't apply to the trust, and the history of intransigence on their part to fully disclose their finances and to account fully before Parliament in respect of this act. Who would really be sympathetic with the disclaimer he has just made? We call upon the trust to respect the rule of law and to subject itself under the provisions of the Act and different regulations of the National Treasury. And lastly, Honorable Chair, would not be taken lightly going forward the failure of the Nguanyama Trust to fully report before the portfolio committee as it is required by law. I think these are the remarks that we'd want to make going forward. And perhaps if you allow us later, Honorable Chair, to make further inputs. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Honorable Matthias. The Honorable Kapa, you are logged in twice. So please switch off one of your devices. You may proceed to pose your questions. Honorable Kapa.
Thank you, Chair. Am I audible? I can't see my...
You are audible.
Oh, thank you, Chair.
But we are unable to see you. If you can unblock your video.
I was trying to find that option, Chair. I can't. I'll have to continue without my video because I can't.
Okay,
see.
But please note that you are logged in on two devices. You may want to switch off the other one, but proceed.
Let me switch off the device. Or otherwise, there's only one issue, Chair, for me.
Yes.
The one of on the unqualified, on the qualified audit findings. My concern there is that it doesn't seem that the Nguanyama Trust understands actually the role of the Auditor General. Because one thing I'm sure of is that Auditor General is not on witch hunt. I know for a fact that actually what they want everyone to do is to do the correct thing in accounting. And therefore, I wouldn't find any reason why they would commit that error of making this finding, whereas it is not. And on the side of the trust, I would have expected two things. Maybe I want to get some clarity on that, on those two things. One, were they able to satisfactorily explain to Auditor General on their management response on this finding? And secondly, are they able to show indications that they intend to correct what has been found by Auditor General? Because I'm worried that if they are not convinced that there is something to be corrected, it will remain like this forever. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Kapa. If I may ask Honorable Marshall, proceed.
Honorable Chair, thank you very much for this opportunity. I would like also to send my greetings to all who are on this platform. Honorable Chair, my question will be the future of Nguanyama Trust substantive accountability post-COVID-19, which if I am listening on what the presenter was presenting, it's like we need also to have some questions, what is going to happen in future. My first question to the Nguanyama Trust will be that, What are the trust legal and financial obligations towards beneficiaries? And the second one will be, where does the Ingonyama Trust Board fit in? And the other one will be, I would like to understand the impact that is the operations and administration of the trust on the land rights and livelihood of the beneficiaries. Chairperson, has the Ingonyama Trust Board succeeded in a field to ensure that the land visited in the trust administered by them for the material welfare of his beneficiaries? How has this board attempt to circumvent on this issue? What is the accountability for compliance with the constitutional and legislative obligations, which is coming to the present issue that was just presented just now to say we are not obligated because those people, they don't even have systems in place. I don't think that is how we're going to take it. What is the expense of the people living in the land administrative by their trust? Where the ITB had an attempted accumulated income generating contracts without the consent of the rights of the holders? Those are my questions, Chair, which I want Ingonyama Trust to help me. What is going to happen post COVID-19 with regard to those questions? Because it seems like as if we'll be going up and down. We are trying to dispute the sections of the PFMA, which is one of the laws that we must administrate as people of this country, which I don't think they're taking the right route. The Ingonyama Trust must remember, Chairperson, in conclusion, we are not here witch hunting them. We are here to help one another to make sure that our administrative processes in government is smooth. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Kapa. Honorable Mbabama.
Thank you, Chair. And please excuse me for my video. I'm just not in a suitable place for the video. Now, on the 9th of October, 2019, the chair of the committee asked the ITB for clarity regarding the 10% fee that went to the board and the 90% that went back to the community. And you asked, Chair, that the trust submit a five-year report that detailed what has been given back to communities and traditional councils. This was again raised by members of the committee in the meeting of the 4th of June, 2020. Now, I would like to know what is stopping the ITB from providing this information, because as far as I know, it has not been provided to date. I would also like to know, Chair, we are in the middle of a very terrible pandemic, and I would just like to know what has the trust done to support its people in terms of COVID-19. What have they done to assist the people on the ground? And then in terms of what has been presented, especially the training program, where only 4 out of 10 of their target was met because of capacity constraints, could they please explain what they mean by capacity constraints? I would really be interested in that. And then, Chair, I'm just looking for my other... Oh, in terms of the annual increment that the employees got for this financial year, what percentage was the annual increment? What did they receive? And how did they justify it? And also, I'd like to know the motor vehicles that have been acquired for 2.9 million in this financial year. What were they and what were they for? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Mbabama. Akbare Briat.
Thank you, baie voorsitter. Chairperson, yes, maybe let me start out by saying, and I think you summed it up very well initially when you spoke, is I still fear that we are not seeing the necessary accountability from the Ngonyama Trust. The dispute with the AGSA is worrying. I've said many times I come from the Free State, so I've had a history of departments and entities disputing findings by the AGSA, and that is worrying to me, because that to me just states that we are not going forward, that we are going backwards, or we are stagnating. But Chairperson, maybe just to get to the questions. Honourable Schlappe mentioned the policies. I think the target was that they had to plan and implement 5 policies and only 2 were done. Maybe just on that side, can we get a list of the policies that have been that were not completed and planned due for whatever reason? And can we then get an update as to where are these policies? Have they been completed as yet or not? Because obviously policies regulate and assist in management, and without that, chaos ensues. I think it was the chairperson also spoke of the communication strategy that they were not able to complete and finish. I would like to find out this communication strategy, what does it entail? How far along are we, and when are we looking at completing this if this is not completed, and when will this be implemented? I think Honourable Mbabama covered the training in terms of what were the internal constraints of this, and maybe leading up to or from that, in terms of the organogram that the board spoke of. I also know that the secretariat had a total of 62 staff members, which means that increased from the previous financial year, we were informed that there were no vacancies. If I can maybe just speak to that, because according to the annual report, 9 employees were on short contract. So maybe if we can just have an update of that organogram, and then in terms of these 9 employees on short contract, what does that entail? When did these contracts expire? Will they be reinstated? And just more details in terms of that. And then, Chairperson, maybe just in terms of the leases, we've spoken that they have actually increased and over-exceeded by 409 land tenure rights that were approved. If we can get the details in terms of that. When were these contracts signed? What are the terms of these contracts? The names of the lessees? What are the hectares? And the use of the land? Is it rental-free? What are the terms of that? And then just if we can get more clarity in terms of that. And then just lastly, Chairperson, in terms of forestry leases, in terms of the 1920 APP, it states that there are forestry leases on trust land, which beneficiaries do not reach the intended recipients that are the community members concerned. And the APP also says that there will be a consolidation of all existing forestry leases and a strategy to actually ensure that these beneficiaries receive reward in terms of that. What is the progress in terms of the consolidation of the forestry leases and the details with regard to that? And Chairperson, I will just leave it at that then. Thanks.
Thank you, Akhbare Priyat. Ndabezitha, Nkosi Cebekhulu.
Thank you, Chairperson, or members and the ITB and the staff, together with the Deputy Minister. Chairperson, actually, I did not have a question per se on the report that has been tabled before the committee, but on the Chairperson's opening remarks, that's one thing I was hoping maybe one would hear with regards to the assistance or the development that the ITB is taking to the communities out there. Remember, Chairperson, several times I've been raising the question of the assistance by the ITB on agricultural projects in the communities in the rural areas. Several times, even again, raised the question when the ITB was before the committee, the issue of assistance on mechanization, which have so far now are going down as far as the assistance on land utilization or cultivation of the fields. So my angle of the approach of on the report was exactly what the chairperson mentioned in his opening remarks with regards to assistance of the communities as far as social economic development in the areas. The focus on agriculture per se, that's what I had in my follow-up. So that's all, chairperson, I wanted just to raise with regards to the presentation that has been made. Although I'm out of the report as it is, has been presented, chairperson, thank you.
Thank you, Ndabezitha. The Honorable Treasurer.
Thank you, Chair. Chairperson, let me apologize firstly. I'm really challenged when it comes to these gadgets. I don't know what is happening, but Chair, thanks for the patience. Mine, Chair, is to reflect on, let me first appreciate the turnabout, I would say, by the advocate on the issue of Auditor General and accountability. I'm happy to hear on his opening remarks, Advocate Ngwenya, that they, as ITB, acknowledges the fact that they have to fully account to Auditor General. To me, Chair, that makes me happy because this was the very same issue that we raised as the committee on the meeting of the 8th of October 2019. I'm highlighting this meeting, Chair. I'm mentioning this meeting, Chair, because I have issues that I believe they are still outstanding. Auditor General raised...
Can you hear me, Chair?
Yes, we can hear you. Please proceed.
Raised the inconsistency on assets, disputing the that they carried over to this one from 2.1 billion to 1 between a lease agreement on the communal land. This, Chair, we requested, till to date it has not yet been submitted to the committee. Can I ask the advocate what could be the reason why this list of beneficiaries that is mentioned today is not put forward to the committee? And also, Chair, on the Auditor General report that was issued before, on the previous year, I would like to ask, Chair, the accounting officer of the ITB was given 20 days to act on the recommendations and of the report. Can the ITB share with us how far are these issues being that was raised by Auditor General have been implemented?
Lastly, Chair, the communication strategy or policy. Can ITB share with us, the committee, what is this community policy about? What is it that it entails? And lastly, Chair, I would like to emphasize those policies that were completed, the two policies that the ITP has completed and the three that are outstanding. Which can they share with us, what are these policies that they are referring to? Which ones that they are referring to?
Thank you, Honorable Traitor. Honorable Masipa.
Thank you, Chair. Let me go straight to the point. If ITP is correct that PFMA does not apply to the trust, it means that the Treasury regulations, Regulation 14, do not apply to the trust at all. The only reason for the PFMA not applying to the trust will be that Schedule 3A of the PFMA refers to the Ingonyama Trust Board and not the Ingonyama Trust. However, the ITB and the trust are inextricably linked, and the sole function of the ITB is in relation to the trust and the trust land. And the second point that I want to make is that Section 47 of the PFMA provides that the accounting authority for a public entity that is not listed in either Schedule 2 or 3 must, without delay, notify the National Treasury in writing that the public entity is not listed. The Minister of Finance is obliged by notice in the Gazette to amend Schedule 3 to include in it all public entities that are not listed. And also the Minister of Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development also has the discretionary power to make technical changes to the list and should amend Schedule 3A explicitly to include the trust. So the question is, does the ITB really understand this? And if they do, what are they going to do about it? The other point that I want to bring, Chair, is that maybe we should consider also, you know, asking the Minister of Agriculture to do the necessary changes, or the right to the Treasury Minister, Minister of Finance, to do the necessary, to incorporate the necessary changes so that, you know, we don't have this problem again, because I think we have been really in this mud for far too long. We need to come to an end and find that, you know, ITB accounts properly to this parliament and obviously work with the age.
The Honorable Ntate Montwe.
Thank you very much, Chair. I'm really sorry. I've moved from my village to town to try access network. I had a serious problem also. Chair, the issue of ITB, I think it needs, the minister must actually provide leadership in this regard. When I first joined Parliament, I think 4 or 5 months later, the minister said an interministerial committee has been established to go and deal with the issues of ITB. As it stands, I have not seen any report from interministerial committee that comes say, this is how issues are resolved with ITB. So at times it's very frustrating that you come here, you say things that are the same continuously, and yet there's no change. So I wanted to appeal to the ministry. I want to appeal to the minister to say, please look into the issue of the ITB and provide political guidance, because we can't live with an entity that wants to behave like a department, an entity that wants the department to be accountable. To them, they're saying, so let me just pose these three questions, Chair. I want to check, what are the trust's legal and financial obligations towards its beneficiaries? And also to say, where does this Ngonyama Board Trust then fit in the picture? Now, the other thing here is what impact has the operations and or administration of the trust had on the land rights and the livelihood of its beneficiaries? Another one, Chair, is that board succeeded or failed to ensure that land vested in the trust is administered for the material welfare of its beneficiaries? And how has the board attempted to circumvent accountability for compliance with the constitutional and legislative obligations? The last one, Chair, is what is the experience of the people living on land administered by the trust, where the ITB had or attempted to conclude income-generating contracts without consent of the rights of landholders in those particular areas? Thank you for the patience, Chair, but my network is seriously dealing with me. I'll have to attend the meeting in Cape Town next time, because Freiburg is going to pay the problem. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Montwedi. Honorable members, is the honorable member that I've not recognized?
Clara, I'm not sure whether I was recognized, but my network is a little bit... Mashad.
My leader, thank you. Please proceed, Honorable Mashad.
Thank you very much, Chair. Let me also take this opportunity to greet all members of the committee, members of the Ngonyama Trust and officials. Let me also take this opportunity, Slalo, to thank the committees and all members of society for the messages of condolences on the passing of my father. The family sends its gratitude to everyone who was with us in spirit. Thank you very much. Chair, dealing with issues at hand in relation to Ngonyama Trust, and I've got only two issues. One is maybe before Ngonyama Trust responds to all the issues that have been raised by members, maybe the department through the minister or deputy ministers available today, just to give an update on what has been the engagements between the department and Ngonyama Trust on various issues. Maybe that will actually assist this meeting in dealing with what members have raised. That's point one. Because primarily we believe that there's political leadership in the department that is in charge and has been able to discharge its responsibility successfully, primarily on issues related to the mandate of the department. Number two, and the very last one, is on Ngonyama Trust itself. Babungwenya, with all due respect, maybe for us to move forward, because like honorable members have indicated, we are moving in circles. We are raising the same issues that we've been raising with Ngonyama Trust. However, I think it is maybe time, like honorable Klappe has indicated prior and in meetings relating to Ngonyama Trust, maybe we must get an indication from Ngonyama Trust itself to say, what is it that they want to see happening with the trust? What is it that they want to see? Because it's not possible, Chair, that an institution or an entity can be in dispute with various institutions and legislations that are governing it. It's not possible Ngonyama Trust cannot be in coherence with ourselves as a committee, coherence with Auditor General, with other legislations. Maybe we just need to get an understanding that what is it that they want us to understand, how do they see this entity operating, and within the time frames and the legislative frameworks that are governing it. Lastly, Chair, is on the ATE. Can we get an indication from Ngonyama Trust and the Auditor General itself? Because the last time there was an indication that there's been some conversations between these two entities or institutions where there was an element of convergence between the two, where they were out mostly finding each other. Now, what happened to those conversations and what happened, what are the developments thus far? Because I think that will assist us to get a way forward, because ourselves moving back and forth and so on is not assisting us, it's not assisting the entities, not assisting the department. We need to get a way forward with time frames so that in the next meeting, as we're discussing with the Ngonyama Trust, we are able to measure successes or failures of those frameworks or issues that we would have aligned and lined up as a program moving forward. Thank you very much, Clark.
Thank you, Honorable Mema Shati. Honorable members, I will request that all the questions that have been raised by honorable members, that the ITB should respond to them in writing and be able to submit them to the committee secretariat by next week, next week Friday being the 19th. Please ensure by noon next week, the 19th of February, that all these questions have been submitted in writing. With your indulgence, honorable members, I will request that with the time that we have taken, we afford the ITB about 20 minutes to respond to the questions as best as they can, but we will await them to send us the questions in writing, so that the honorable members can have ample time to look into those questions and see what way forward we can be able to map. Babu Ngwenya will hand over to the chair and therefore to the rest of the members of the ITP, the ITP to sponsor answers and responses of the questions. Let me hand over to the ITP.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I think, firstly, we appreciate the indulgence you give us. We appreciate the indulgence to respond in writing by the 19th of February at noon. The brief that I can say for now, which I pick up from each and every member speaking, is the perception of the ITB being defiant and non-compliant. I wish to refer to you, Chairperson, and your committee, that the annual report that you have here, among others, at page 108, paragraph 15, this is what the Auditor General is saying. It says, the Trust is not required to prepare a report on its performance against predetermined objectives, as it does not fall within the ambit of Public Finance Management Act of South Africa, Act Number 1 of 1999. And such reporting is also not required in terms of the entity's specific legislation. This is what the AG itself is saying, that we are defiant. We want to say certainly not, that has not been the case at any given time. Furthermore, I think, because I want to link this with the Honorable Member Masipa, who referred us to Section 47 of the PFMA. If this committee or the minister, as it appears that is a proposal by the honorable member, were to go back, let me refer this honorable committee once more that the Ngonyama Trust Board was listed in Government Gazette number 402 of the 16th February 2001 as a public entity. At the same time, Ingonyama Trust was so listed. But subsequently, Ingonyama Trust was removed on the 17th by Government Gazette 1261 of the 17th April 2003. This was what the lawmakers did on their own. We find ourselves that we must implement the law, but if you go back, whatever you do is not our call, Honorable Chair. I just wanted to make that clear, that that is, we are trying as best as possible to follow the law as it is written. Now, let me now go to some few issues. There is a question by, let me go back there. The question by Honorable Kappe was whether we are following progressive business models and we must give examples. One thing we request with all humility for this committee to understand how it wishes us to operate. This committee, when it votes for budgets in Parliament, it only votes for the Ingonyama Trust Board. There is not 1 cent that comes from government for Ingonyama Trust. In the year under review, we were working with 22 million. So all the projects that the committee is expecting us to implement must come from the trust on self-funding basis. And yet, on the ground, we are confronted by people who say, we are taking away people's rights. I'm not sure whether any member of this committee has asked himself or herself to say, what is the revenue, the source of revenue that must be generated by Ingonyama Trust Board for the trust? Because there is no source of income except the leases that we have introduced. The royalties were taken without consultation to the National Treasury. The leases, we are told now by some members that we enter into leases without any consent. Let me repeat once more. The Board of Ingonyama Trust, which is ITB, will never issue any rights unless there is a written consent as stipulated by law in terms of Section 2 of the Act, subsection 5. We call that ITB2, is a consent by a person whose rights are to be the subject of a document, because otherwise on the ground, people have got oral rights. But if any member of this committee were at any time to give us an example of one person who can say my rights have been expropriated or taken away through Ingonyama Trust without my consent, we'll happily deal with that. We have never done it before, and we are not doing it. We've been asked for a list of a number of things, Chair. That would be part of our response by the 19th, as you asked. But again, Honorable Tape has asked for reasons for the late submission of the annual report of the finances. That is late filing. That is not correct. Again, we respect the Auditor General. If you look in all our submissions in the past, we say the constitution of the country is the supreme law, and we know that the Auditor General is the supreme audit institution in terms of Chapter 9 of the constitution. But they are not infallible. They make mistakes. I can show you right now, Chairperson, their findings about irregular expenditure in the year 2018 and 2019. It was 480 million. Now they're talking about irregular expenditure of 100. They say it's an expenditure of 109 million. There are many things we can show. But let me respond to this late filing of the annual financial statement. It was not late. But what was late were the annexures and the schedule
to the annual financial statement. The deadline was a Friday. We submitted that those schedules on the next Wednesday. That is the facts on the ground. The Auditor General can confirm that. So, Chairperson, what I said, because other members believe that when we say the Auditor General is wrong when they say they take the accumulated findings and they say we did not disclose, we are requesting your committee now to read page 59 of the report you have before you and look at page 64, where we pointed out to the Auditor General that this is our disclosure. They did not dispute it. Instead, they added our disclosure for the current year to the previous year's findings. We say they are wrong. An independent person will come up with a better solution. But we're talking about the past year. So there was a question that, are we beginning to reach each other? Yes, we're trying to get a comprehensive remedial plan that will deal with all these issues, because I'm afraid, Chairperson, whenever we come to this committee, we find ourselves having to answer on things that the law does not require at the moment, that we could have dealt with whatever you asked us, but separately, because there was a date in which you wanted us to come and present. Today we are presenting the annual, the AFS for 2019 and 2020. But what we are asked to respond to are things that were said in 2018, in 2019, at the time when the law says this is what we must present to you. So that is the difficulty then that perhaps creates the impression to some of the members that we are belligerent, we are against everything else. We're not given time to respond openly on issues that are raised. If I look at the number of questions that we have to respond even today, in 30 minutes, it's really unrealistic that we could have done so. When we go and prepare a response for you, we will do so, but we'll have to take resources elsewhere to put all of these together. We would need to consider whether we courier this or not, because to give all the lists, which I know are over 5,000, to this committee, we don't know what information you want there, but you must assume that because you've made a ruling, you want to know who the holder of a release, where the extent of the land and how much rental that person pays. You want to do an analysis on that. But we definitely have to comply with that. So I'm saying what we've been asked is quite monumental. I can use an example, for instance, because we're asked a number of questions. So that, because I think the question that was raised by Honorable Masipa to say the trust is intricately linked to the board. That is correct. But there are other institutions that are intricately linked. That's why if you put it as a public entity, you have problems. Inkosi Qebekhulu sitting in front of you is one of the representatives of the beneficiaries. His whole land is owned by the trust. He was among the traditional councils that we did a trial on 100 hectare project, where the trust spent money to help his people develop a vegetable garden. He knows that. That is why I think his question is, how much assistance can they still get, he and others? So what Inkosi Qebekhulu can do, we can testify to you, Chairperson, as a member of your committee, that we will not touch the land which is under his administration, although it's owned by the trust, without him and his council giving us an ITB tool. So whatever then that we are told by honorable members that we do, we don't have evidence. But if they give evidence of our wrongdoing, we would like to know that and engage on that. I won't waste much time, Chairperson, on that, but you gave me time to give just an overview response. I've done that. I undertake on behalf of the board to now compile a response as requested by you. But also, if I may say, with the greatest respect, Chairperson, this report has said some of the things that I'm saying, but also I gained the impression that some of the questions indicate to me that some of the members did not read this report before you. Hence, They say we are belligerent. We think we are not subject to law. The Auditor General has analyzed all the legislation that applies to us. If you look in the last year, there was a consolidated report. It's not part of this report. Why? It's because the more the Auditor General begin to understand us, the more they begin to relent. But because they've got the last word, what happens is what is in the public domain. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Bangwen. I can assure you that our honorable members have read the reports and they continue doing the work that they are mandated to do. I think if you afford yourself an opportunity to read my opening remarks and look into the questions that the honorable members have posed, it is all informed by the reports before us. So I would not want to cast aspersions on honorable members that they are not doing their work. The questions themselves, they testify that we read the reports and we engage with the reports, and we can go on laboring on these issues if I open for second round. But because of time being against us, I will just give the closing remarks to the CEO and the CFO if they have anything additional to add from what Uba Ungwenya has said. Uba Mkabela, as well as Uba Umia, any other input, or will you resort to writing, submitting their responses in writing?
Thanks, Chairperson. Yes, we do resort to that commitment. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. Honorable members, let us thank you for your indulgence. As I know, we've gone over the scheduled time we had, which we're supposed to finish at 2. Please be able to take time to log on to the training that is continuing with Parliament, and we shall resume the meeting again at 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock with the Honourable Minister. But I would want to then give closing remarks to Sibel Kool, Uba Udlamini, the Deputy Minister, as suggested by Honorable Mahlatsi, to hear in terms of the department what their interventions have been, if any. Sibel Kool.
Thank you very much, my chairperson, and good afternoon to all the members of the Portfolio Committee and the IETB. And I appreciate the moment you are allowing me to do, which is to thank you for facilitating this meeting properly to the stage where we are right now. And we would indicate that we have agreed with the IETB on areas, because we had a meeting with them last week. We agreed that we need to work some work together so that we are able to work on the things the committee is raising, because the Portfolio Committee is raising very genuine issues that we cannot ignore. So thank you very much, Chairperson, and I thank you myself. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Deputy Minister Uba Udlamini. Honorable members, our meeting stands adjourned. We will resume again at 5 o'clock for the briefing of the minister. I thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Salo.